I was reading this week, and I was in my office, and you know, it's kind of a busy week. We had a camp board meeting this week, and it's just a reminder of the work that's still to be done at camp. And so as I was reading, I picked up this book that I have. It's called The Prayers of David, A Man After, or Becoming a Person After God's Heart. And as I was reading, I was reminded of my relationship with God. And what the book does is it takes the prayers of David, it takes like the Psalms that he writes, and it kind of explains them. And kind of tries to put them in the context of what David would be feeling and what those words would really mean to David. And there's a couple things that really impacted me. And those of you who last week, what was our sermon on? Some of you went home and did it, some of you didn't. Rest. That's right. And what was the psalm last week that Reg knew just right off the top of his head? I already said it once today. Psalm 23, 23rd psalm, right. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you've looked in your bulletin, like Rick did for his children's message, you would know that basically what Rick said during his children's message is my message, so I really don't need to preach, do I? So we'll just wrap this up real quick. What was significant was when the book was going through the Lord is my shepherd, it was the word shepherd. And it wasn't just hearing the word, because I've heard the word so many times. How many people have heard the word shepherd in the Bible? It's an analogy. It's a word that's used very often. And but there's times when we hear a word described and we know what it is in our mind, right? We know the definition, but we may not exactly know what it is in our hearts. We don't know what the real meaning of being a shepherd is, unless you're a shepherd. And there's so many times that we use these words to describe something, and we think we understand them, until someone comes along and explains it in a way that clicks, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I didn't really understand that at all. There was this movie I was watching one time on the Family Channel back in Ohio, because that was the only channel I really got. And they would make these movies, and it was one that had Harvey Keitel in it, and it was about a writer who had been writing, just an amazing novelist. But he hadn't been writing in a long time, and so this hotshot company sends this young guy over there to try to convince him to start writing, offer him money. You know, they want to make money off of him. And I remember one time, like, they're walking, and this guy, he's an old man, and he's real stubborn, and he just knows what's right. And the young man is like, why don't you write? And he's like, well, you're a good writer. Write for me. Describe to me what it's like to be punched in the stomach. Some of you might know where this is going. And so the young writer is like, well, out of air. And he lists all these things, and he's like, that was good. And then out of nowhere, he just socks him in the stomach real hard, knocks the wind out of him, says, now describe to me what it's like to be punched in the stomach. And Gladys is like, that doesn't sound like fun. But after experiencing it, his definition was different. His definition was in a whole different way, and you knew that all of a sudden he understood. Like, we all kind of know what it's like to be punched in the stomach, but when you're punched in the stomach and you feel it, then you really understand. And that's kind of what God did. He kind of punched me in the stomach with this word this week, the word shepherd. And right now, if I ask anyone if you know what a shepherd is there anybody in here who doesn't know what a shepherd is? You can raise your hand. It's okay. That's what I thought. The problem is that although we know the definition of shepherd in our minds, when we read 23 and David calling the Lord a shepherd, we don't understand what the word shepherd means to David. To David. And nowadays, if I were to ask anyone, does anybody know anybody who's a professional shepherd? Anybody? Is that their job? Reg is saying yes. I figured you would be the one to say yes. Yeah. Most people, I would think we would say no, you know. Shepherds, we see them as more of a historical figure, don't we? What they did, what they were needed was to corral the sheep, take them around, get them good pasture land, protect them. And that's now done by what? Fences, barns, the feed that Reg brings. Now, there's not a whole lot of herds of sheep roaming the countryside, are there? Unless you put them in Maryland's pasture over here, in which case they do, because they can't hold them in. But they roam all over the parking lot, and you see where they've roamed. There aren't a lot of sheep just roaming around, and so the word shepherd is one that I personally haven't really understood in my heart what the significance really is to David. And I'd like to read Psalm 23 and read what David writes here. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He stills my soul. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I had read that, and I don't know how many times I've read that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's the first psalm that this book talks about, and I want to read that. And I want to read what really hit me this week as the author described more in detail what it means for David to use the word shepherd. And this is just, "The Lord is my shepherd. The day was quiet and bright as David puzzled over the melody and phrases of his latest song. He looked up and did a quick head count of the sheep as they munched lazily beside the stream." And here, the time period, this is before David goes through Goliath and all the way to king. So this is where he's a boy and he's tending his father's flocks. "It was a habit he had acquired over the years. With little more than a glance to survey the flock and sense their mood, he knew immediately if any were missing or had strayed too far. He needed to be able to protect them if trouble bounded suddenly from the edges of the clearing, but everything seemed in order now. For a moment longer, he let the gurgling of the running brook play upon his ear. A songbird warbled cheerfully in the distance. The sheep chewed and bleated softly to one another in the foreground. He would carry this picture of peacefulness with him all his life, though almost never would he experience it again. Long hours that rolled into weeks of careful attentiveness over his father's flocks, days of sitting and pondering the nature of the universe and the God who created it, marveling at the intimate details of the grass beneath his feet and the utter magnitude of the sun and stars over his head." And somewhere in that stillness, with the edges of his heart, he sensed that the creator of all this, though greater than the universe itself, was always right there with him. A feeling so palpable that David wanted to reach out his hand and touch him, but also so elusive that he knew simple, natural senses would never comprehend him. But David was comforted to know that his creator sat there with him, listening to that same stream, the same babbling of the sheep, and feeling the same light breeze that fingered the leaves of the myrtle trees and rippled the clear pool by which he sat. Yes, this was a moment of contentment. David looked out over the sheep again. They seemed even more consumed by the stillness than he was. They didn't have a care in the world. From time to time, one looked up at him, wagging his tail and baaing, as if knowing and acknowledging David's protection. In the same way, David might view the shade of the tree on a hot day or the cover the tree provided in a sudden storm. He set down his lyre for a moment and fingered the rod that hung at his belt, feeling its weight in his grip. Despite the peacefulness of the day, he knew that danger was never far away. Today wasn't all that different from the day the lion had stalked his sheep. If it had not been for his sling and the power of his rod, the lion might have done far more harm than simply spooking the sheep as it leapt from an embankment. David remembered catching that lion by the beard, bringing his rod down upon his head with a crack, and then pulling a badly frightened sheep from his mouth. God had certainly been with him. Had David's quickness been any less, it might not have been the lion that met his demise that day. Then, of course, there was a bear that had been drawn by the sound of a bleeding lamb that had been fallen into a ravine. It took some well-placed stones to bring down that great beast. It also took some time for David to calm the lamb so that he could catch it in the crook of his staff, pull it from the pit, and return it to its mother. With these memories strong in mind, David turned his attention again to his lyre and began coaxing music once more from its strings. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." As I read that, it just kind of hit me. What a different perspective, the word shepherd, that it means to this man who is using it. It's not a meek word. It's not just a word to describe something. To me, the word shepherd is just a picture of a biblical character with his staff looking out over his sheep. But to David, the word shepherd is very real. Because he is one. And because he understands what it means in the heart of every shepherd to be called by that name. It means protector. It means guide. It means knowing better and best. It means long days and dark nights alone. When danger comes for the flock, you are to step in between. And you had better be ready. You don't have any power weapons. You have a staff, a rod, a sling, and some stones, and you better be a good shot. And being a good shepherd means that each and every lamb is just as important as the next. That you don't let any lamb go for that bear. You're always there. You're always protecting. You always care. And being a good shepherd means your sheep know your voice. And that you have power over your flock with your voice in a way that no one else can. This is the first thing that hit me, was what shepherd means. What it really means in the heart of David. When he uses that word, it's a powerful, powerful, meaningful word, shepherd. See, it's not a historical figure to him, it's life. And the second thing that hits me was about being a good shepherd means that your sheep know your voice. And that you can have power with them over your voice, like that lamb that's in the ravine that he wrote about. If you can't reach him, how do you calm that lamb down? It says he coaxed him, talking softly, calming that lamb because he has power over that lamb with his voice. Now Jesus uses the same analogy of the shepherd and his flock to portray Jesus' relationship with the people in John chapter 10. I want to turn there right now. I want to read chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Now, I know that sheep recognize their shepherd's voice. In this case, they would recognize the horn on Marilyn's car or Tim's car when they come in at 10:30 at night, burr, 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 and all the sheep would come running. As I read about what was really in David's heart when he refers to God as a shepherd, it took a whole deeper meaning for me, and it also helped me understand more about my relationship with God, with what Jesus teaches in John 10 about his sheep knowing their shepherd and knowing their master's voice, and that a stranger may call, but they don't veer because it's not the shepherd's voice. It said that the shepherd will come and he'll call his sheep out, and he can go ahead of them and keep talking, and the sheep will follow him. But when a stranger calls for those sheep to veer, they won't do it. Now, as Rick mentioned with animals, that happens. I remember when Tyler and Jaren were both babies. And if you've ever seen a baby do this, you know what I'm talking about. But I would come home, and it was usually over at Chandra's parents' house if I had been away, because our apartment had like two rooms, and so there's no place to be out of sight. But I would come into the kitchen, and Chandra and the baby would be over here in the living room. And I'd walk in, and I'd start talking to someone before going in to see them. And all of a sudden, Tyler or Jaren would perk up and start looking around and say, "I know that voice." Someone else can walk in and stop talking and start talking, but they don't do the same thing because it's not their dad. The same thing with Chandra. If I've got the boys, if I've got Jaren, you guys have all heard that he's a mama's boy anyway. If she's been gone and she comes in, oh, that little boy, he hears her voice and immediately just goes running. One time her sister came and started talking, and he got real excited, but they sound alike. So he was pretty disappointed. Made Kayla feel pretty bad. But the Lord is our shepherd, and we're supposed to be able to recognize his voice over all other voices, aren't we? How is it that the sheep recognize their shepherd's voice? Rick mentioned it, but how is it? Anybody remember? What'd you say? Hearing it often. Time. The shepherd spends his whole day with the sheep. There are no breaks. Morning and night, he's always there, always talking, and that's the only voice that they hear. So they know that shepherd's voice. So if I'm to know God's voice, I think you can put two and two together that for me to know my shepherd's voice, it takes time. It takes involvement because I'm supposed to know his voice over all others. Sometimes I think that I can recognize the voice of God over all others, but can I really? The sheep only recognize their shepherd's voice because of the time. And I ask myself, have I spent enough time? Do I spend enough time with my shepherd so that of all the voices calling me to veer this way or that way, that I only go where my shepherd is trying to lead? And this, as I was walking here this morning, I was thinking, you know, when God calls, when the shepherd calls, I bet the devil calls too. Do you ever think about that? The shepherd's trying to lead you this way, but the devil's trying to lead you this way, and sometimes he can sound pretty darn close to the good shepherd. Jesus, doesn't he say, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing? It's a very crafty, crafty evil spirit. I've got a funny story about one of Chandra's friends back in Ohio. And we were all young, we were all merryweds or newlyweds, and this story came about that she was over with her in-laws and her husband, and her mother-in-law and her husband were sitting at the table talking. And so she walks up, and you know, her husband's a stone mason. He's been working all day. She goes up, and she starts rubbing his back, and she starts really getting in there. You know, I want to be a good wife, and she's really rubbing and really rubbing. And they're talking, and the mother-in-law starts looking at her like, what are you doing? Like, well, duh. And I don't know if it was she leaned around to give him a kiss or he turned around and kind of looked up at her and realized that that wasn't her husband. That was her brother-in-law. They sounded almost the same, and from behind, they looked almost the same. Even when we think that we know so well, do we really know? There's only one way to be certain. Do you know your shepherd's voice? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our good shepherd, and as you call to us, Lord, as you lead us, I pray that you would help us to recognize your voice above all others, and that everyone here would be spending the time with you, that I would be spending the time with you that I need to be able to recognize you in those times when there's multiple voices calling me. And each way looks good, but only one way is real. And only one way is the real good, and that's with you. Help us to know you as our shepherd in our hearts and what it truly means for you to be our shepherd. Amen.